you'll take your Bibles this morning. Turn on first, maybe. All right. If you'll take your Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and stand with me if you're able to. And again, if you've read the bulletin today, this won't be a surprise, but this is part one again. I'm getting so that the more I'm studying, the more I'm getting to where the notes I'm accumulating are longer and longer and longer. And I wouldn't have any problem preaching for a few hours, but I'm not sure I'd keep you guys' attention for a couple hours. So anyway, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, Bible records for us, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for your Lord's Day that you've given to us, where we can meet together in your house today, Father. And as we come together, I thank you for the praises that we could sing already and the time that we've had together. And Father, I pray now our attention and our focus would be on your word. And I pray, Father, that it would touch our hearts and change our lives for the better. And I pray, Father, you'd give me boldness to proclaim your word, put the very words that I need to preach in my mouth. And we thank you for what you're going to accomplish. Father, I just want to be your mouthpiece. I want to be used of you. So I pray, Father, that you would just bless this time that we have together now, and we will not fail to give you all the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The last four sermons that I preached on eschatology, we have seen some times where we could be shouting, right? We've had some shouting time. The rapture is going to take place. We're going to get glorified bodies. I mean, some shouting time we've had here. The second coming of Christ. All of these things are some great and glorious times, and I'm looking forward to all of them. But today we're going to be talking about something that's horrifying even to think about. We're going to be talking about the tribulation period. We're going to be talking about a time that this earth has never seen. People say, well, we're living in the tribulation. No, this is a cakewalk compared to the tribulation, folks. It may look bad right now. This is the best it's going to get for those who have not accepted Christ as Savior. This is the best it gets. It goes downhill from here. This is the worst it is for us that know Christ as Savior. It gets better from here. People go, well, you don't know that it might not get worse down here. I'm telling you, I don't care how bad it gets here, it's as worse as it's ever going to be for a child of God. Things get better from here. Most of the book of Revelation deals with this subject, this period of time known as the tribulation period. It's amazing. And as I said, the last few sermons I had about the preacher that's out in Arkansas, started with an A, right? Arkansas, that saying that the tribulation and all that is past tense, because he believes all the book of Revelation is talking about stuff that's already taken place. How deceived can one be? That's future. That's future. Deals with that time. And the Bible refers to the tribulation period in many ways. It talks about the day of the Lord. And you can find that in Isaiah and Ephesians and Joel. Talks about the day of God's vengeance in Isaiah, time of Jacob's trouble in Jeremiah, Daniel's 70th week in the book of Daniel, time of the end in the book of Daniel, the great wrath of the great day of his wrath in Revelation, the hour of his judgment in Revelation, the end of the world in Matthew, the indignation in Isaiah, the overspread of abominations in Daniel, and the day of trouble in the book of Daniel. Just lots of things in the Bible talk about this terrible, terrible time that's yet to take place. I remember years ago having a client of mine that she was convinced, reading the King James Version of the Bible, she was convinced that we would be here during the tribulation period. And I said, I'm not going to be here. She said, well, where are you going to be? I said, I'm going to be with my Savior. I'm going out in the rapture before the tribulation period takes place. She said, where do you get that? So I said, turn in your Bible to here. And so I walked her through it, and she goes, well, no, we're still going to be here. I said, that's because you've been deceived into believing a lie. Well, guess what? I lost that listing. Oh well. It's better that she knows the truth than I get a sale, right? Better that she knows that she won't be here if she accepts Christ as Savior. It's interesting how people can be so easily deceived into believing a lie. We're also going to be talking about this individual called the Antichrist. The Antichrist. Just as there's many names given to describe the tribulation period, there are also many names given to describe the Antichrist. He's known as the bloody and deceitful man in Psalms, the wicked one in Psalm, the man of the earth in Psalms, the mighty man in Psalms 52:1, the enemy in Psalms 55:3, the adversary in Psalms 74:8-10, the head of many countries in Psalm 11:6, the violent man in Psalm 140, verse 1, the Assyrian in Isaiah 10:5-12, the king of Babylon in Isaiah 14:2, the son of the morning in Isaiah 14:12, the spoiler in Isaiah 16:4-5, the nail in Isaiah 22:25, the branch of the terrible ones in Isaiah 25:5, the profane wicked prince of Israel in Ezekiel 21:25-27, the little horn in Daniel 7:9, the prince that shall come in Daniel 9:26, the vile person in Daniel 11:21, the willful king in Daniel 11:36, the idle shepherd in Zechariah 11:16-17, the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, the son of perdition in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, the lawless one in 2 Thessalonians 2:8, the Antichrist in 1 John 2:22, and the beast in Revelation 11:7. Over and over and over, and that's just 25 of them. The age in which is called the tribulation period is when the Antichrist will rule and reign for 7 years on earth. Thank God we won't be here as children of God, right? Thank God we will not have to suffer the rule of the Antichrist. It's hard suffering the rule of some of our elected officials now. But I didn't name any names. Guys are laughing. This is an age that's coming that no one should desire to live through. No one. Especially the last 3.5 years. The first 3.5 years is not near as bad as the last 3.5 years. The last 3.5 years is known as the Great Tribulation Period. The Great Tribulation Period. Not because it's wonderful, because it's a horrible time to be here. Amazing. Turn to Matthew chapter 24, please. Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. Matthew 24, starting verse 21, it says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Can you imagine how bad it's going to be? I mean, I've just read what the Bible talks about it. And I'm like, I don't want any part of that. Thank God I won't be here. Thank God the rapture takes place before this time. God is going to pound the earth with his wrath. Can you imagine the wrath of God being poured out? I mean, we read about Sodom and Gomorrah, right? We read about the fire and brimstone from heaven. We read about those things and we think, yeah, whatever. No, this earth is going to see the wrath of God like it's never seen before. Okay, let me go back to days of Noah. God sent a flood. This planet is going to see the wrath of God like it's never seen before. Are you getting the picture here yet? It's going to be horrible. It's going to be a time when even the worst enemies that you have ever imagined, you shouldn't want them to go through this. I've talked for years about the terrorists out there, the ISIS and the Hamas and all those. We should be praying that those people get saved. Instead, we pray that God would wipe them out, right? Because we think they're too evil and wicked to be saved. Folks, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we could be that evil and that wicked. It's amazing how we have a problem. And I'm not saying here in this church, I'm just saying as a whole, Christianity has a problem praying for those who are evil and wicked. If we don't, who does? If we don't pray for them, who's going to? The evil and wicked people, who are they praying to? When God pours his wrath out on the earth, he will pour out the 7-seal judgments. He's going to also the 7 trumpet judgments and the 7 vial judgments. He's poured out his love on mankind during the church age. During the church, we live in the church age, folks. God has poured his love out upon people right now. That's going to come to an end. That's going to come to an end. His love is going to turn to his wrath, and he's going to pour that out upon this earth. Man. I don't know about you, I kind of like his love. I kind of gotten used to having his love around. I kind of really like the fact that he loves me and he cares for me and he provides for my needs and he sees that I'm protected. I like that. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31 real quick. Hebrews 10:31. The Bible records it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Yeah. It should get people to think twice about rejecting the free gift of salvation, because the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon them. For 3.5 years, he pounds this earth with some of the most devastating blows that it has ever received. God's love turns to wrath. Men are going to run and try and find a place to hide from God. Let me just ask this question. Where can you go and hide from God? Well, we've been learning about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, right? In our Sunday school hour. And Adam and Eve, what does it say? When God came looking for them, and they'd already fallen, it says they hid themselves. And God comes on the scene and says, "Where art thou?" And let me again remind us, it's not because God didn't know where they were. God wanted them to know where they were. God wanted them to know what they had done, and that God knew what they had done. See, you can't hide from God. I don't care where you go, you cannot hide from God. There's no place that you'll be able to hide from the omniscient and omnipresent one. But the Bible tells us that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to try and hide from God. Look at Revelation chapter 6. Verses 16 and 17. And said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" See, they understood at that point, oops, too late, right? We live in the church age where there's time. Does anybody know when that's going to end? No, we don't. I can tell you this much, it's going to end when that trumpet sounds and we're out of here. As children of God. That's when the church age is going to end. But can I tell you when that's going to happen? No. Can I tell you I believe it's going to be soon? Yeah. The writing's on the wall, folks. Things are lining up. According to the Word of God, they're lining up. Yeah. We live in exciting times. And I've said before, man, wouldn't it have been great to have walked this earth with the Lord Jesus Christ? Wouldn't that have been a great time to live? What's wrong with now? We live in some exciting times. And people say, "Oh, but it's so horrible." No, we live in exciting times because I know what the Bible says. I know what it tells us is coming. And it means I'm that much closer to a glorified body that we spoke about the last couple weeks. The Bible tells us here that men's hearts are fail them because of the fear of things that will take place during this 3.5 years. All those who miss out on the rapture are going to be facing this difficult time, and it's going to be the most difficult time that any mortal has ever, ever experienced on this earth. Again, you think this is bad? You haven't seen bad. Evil is so prevalent today. Even our law enforcement will tell you they are helpless to stop it. Isn't that interesting? I had to call the police again yesterday. An incident here. Let me tell you, one of the first questions they asked is, are you armed? See, they didn't want to send the police here if there was somebody on the premises that was armed. I said, it's safe for them to come. She said, I'm sorry I have to ask that. I said, don't be sorry. I totally understand why you have to ask that. And I am totally in agreement with you need to ask those questions. And the officers came and they asked me if I had anything on me. I said, you're safe. And I appreciate why you have to ask those questions. We live in a day and age where things have gotten out of control. We live in a day and age when people no longer respect the property of God.
Come on. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a day and age when people would not touch something that belonged to God. Lost people who did not know God would not touch something that belonged to God for fear.
Yeah.
That's gone.
Yeah.
That's gone. They don't care. And they have no idea what they're messing with. Who they're messing with.
Yeah.
One day, God is going to stop these evil ones in their tracks. God's going to send seven seal judgments. He's going to send the trumpet judgments, and He's going to send the vial judgments. Yeah. These are three series of end times judgments of God. They increasingly get worse and are more devastating as the end times progress. The seven seal trumpets and bowls are connected to one another. The seventh seal introduces the seven trumpets, and the seventh trumpet introduces the seven bowls. Every lost person living when the rapture takes place and the church is out of here will live during these seven horrible years. Again, an age when no one should desire to be here. We've heard some say if they had their choice of times to live, they would love to have lived during the Old Testament times, as I mentioned earlier, right? Wouldn't that have been great? Others would say if they had their choice of times to live, they would choose to live during the days of the West, the Industrial Age, the Middle Ages, the Renaissance, or the Enlightenment Age. All of those ages had their own appeal, right? But something you will never ever hear, no one from anyone who knows the Scriptures, not one of them would say, if I have a time to live, the age I want to live in is the tribulation period. Anybody who knows what the Scripture says is not going to say that, because it's not a time that anybody will want to be here. Nobody in their right mind would be here during those times. But those who have not accepted Christ as Savior, before that trumpet sounds, or before they die, when the rapture of the church takes place, they will be living during this time. It's a horrible time. Paul could see the beginning of this dreadful time in his age, and he referred to it as the mystery of iniquity in our text, verse 7. The mystery of iniquity is preparing to be revealed. What's keeping this mystery of iniquity from being revealed? Let me tell you, it's the Holy Spirit and the church, because we're still here. Can you imagine what it'd be like here on this planet Earth right now if the Holy Spirit had been removed already? Again, thank God I don't have to find that out as a child of God. The Holy Spirit in the church must be removed before the tribulation period starts. It must be removed. Do you get that? That's why I don't understand these people that are post-trib, which say that the church is going to be here during the tribulation period and then we're raptured out after. Then why does the Bible say that God's people are saved from the wrath to come? What do you think that's talking about? Talking about the tribulation period. We are saved from that, which means we're not going to be here during that time, which means now is the time to be saved. Thank God. He pours out His love upon us. Look at our text, verse 7, where it says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." One day very soon, the Holy Spirit and the church will be removed from this earth. And this period of history called the tribulation period will start. When this happens, the most dreadful time on the face of the earth will take place. There'll be virtually no one here to stop Satan from doing whatever he wants. Yeah, Satan will have free reign. When the Holy Spirit and the church are removed from the earth, the Antichrist will be able to do what he pleases, whenever he pleases, to whomever he pleases. The only opposition that he will have to contend with during the tribulation age is the two extraordinary witnesses, which we will see later, and the 144,000 Jewish missionaries spreading the gospel of the kingdom, and more of that later. They will be a thorn in the side of the Antichrist. This sinful world has seen all kinds of rulers. But once this time in history starts, the world will be introduced to one of the most brilliant, charismatic, brutal, and deceptive rulers that has ever existed. This one will make Hitler look like a Sunday school boy. This one is going to be worse than any that have preceded him. Look at verse 9 of our text. It says, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders." He's going to be the politician of politicians. He's going to be charismatic. He's going to be brilliant. He's going to woo them. He's not going to be truthful. Satan doesn't know how to, right? He won't be truthful. He's going to be the most successful leader of leaders. Why will he be successful? Because those who have been left behind have rejected God's Son. The last 3.5 years of this period, he will demand all the world worship him. No one will be able to buy or sell without taking this mark in their forehead or their right hand. No one. Can you imagine a mom going to the grocery store, loading up her cart, getting to the checkout? Where's the mark? I didn't take it. You can't buy. Well, I can't feed my children. They don't care. They do not care. The result is you'll either take the mark or you'll lose your life. Man, pretty brutal, huh? We think we've got bad rulers now. Nothing compared to this guy. There will be some who will not worship him, but will pay the ultimate price of having their heads cut off for not taking the mark of the beast. Yeah. The tribulation saints will serve their Lord under the most horrible conditions. They'll die for their faith. See, during the church age, we have it pretty easy. Oh yeah, somebody might call us a Jesus freak, or, oh, you're just one of those churchgoers, or all those things that hurt, right? No. The things that are going to be inflicted on these people are going to be horrible. That's why the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. And too many put it off. I don't need it. Yeah, you do. Look at Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. There may be some that say, well, if I live during that time, I will not accept that. I will not worship the Antichrist. Okay? They say, I won't do that. They've rejected God's Son. God's love is going to turn to God's anger, and God is going to see it to it that the evil crowd that rejected His Son will receive the Antichrist. But you say, well, how's that going to happen? Look at our text again, verses 11 and 12. It says, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I know years ago they had a Left Behind series. And in the Left Behind series, it showed that after the tribulation, people could still get saved that have already heard. That's not biblical. People said, well, how do you feel about... I feel like it's misleading people to believe a lie, which is going to send them to the tribulation period, which is going to be a horrible time for them. I believe they need to know they need to get saved now. Again, today is the day of salvation. God says that because He knows what's coming. I can't imagine wanting anybody, anyone at all, to have to go through this period. They had a choice. They had a choice when it came to receiving Christ now. And they rejected. They will not have a choice when it comes to receiving the Antichrist. They will not believe the truth, Jesus, but they will believe a lie, the Antichrist. Because they won't believe the truth, the Bible says He's going to send strong delusion. And they will believe a lie. God is angry at the sinful inhabitants of this earth when they're left behind at the rapture for rejecting His only begotten Son. Yeah. I have prior clients, now that I'm retired. Prior clients, professed atheists. they've gotten the truth. I've shared it with them several times. They got my annual letter with a church tract every year. There's coming a day when they have no excuse because they rejected the truth. Breaks my heart. Breaks my heart. I know what they face. And it's not pretty. You're here today and you've never accepted Christ as Savior. Today's that day. You need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. People say, why? Because you've heard the gospel. You've heard the truth. And God says, once that rapture takes place, you've heard the truth and you're going to be damned for all eternity. I want to look at a couple things. First, I want to look at the purpose of the tribulation period. The purpose. Several reasons why God's going to allow this tribulation period to exist, such as it prepares Israel for the Messiah. Anytime we deal with prophecy in Scripture, we have to consider Israel. And no, I don't believe that God set them aside and said he's done with them. I don't believe that story because the Bible teaches differently. God's not done with Israel. And let me just say this too while we're on that subject. You want the wrath of God now? Be the enemy of Israel. God will bless those who stand with Israel. But he said he'll curse those who are against them. Yeah. The Gentile age is soon coming to an end. Paul tells us in Romans 9, 10, and 11 that God has not forgotten the Jews. He is going to return to the Jews. The Jews rejected the Lord, and even today they still reject the Lord Jesus as their Messiah. They've forgotten him. But let me tell you this, Jesus has not forgotten them. Turn to Ezekiel, please. Chapter 20. We're going to look at verses 37 and 38. Verse 37 says, "And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I will purge out from among you the rebels, and from them that transgress against me, I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." Now keep your place there. The Jews are still looking for the Lord to come because they think he hasn't come yet. They don't think he's come. But during the tribulation period, the Jews are going to realize he has come and that they crucified the beloved, only begotten Son of God. They're going to realize that. And in verse 38, we read, "And ye shall know that I am the Lord." Yeah. The tribulation period will exist so the Jews might come to know him as the Savior of the world. Yeah. But he is allowing the tribulation period to come for also another reason. To pour out judgment on the unrighteous. Look at Isaiah Isaiah 26. In verse 21, Isaiah 26 and verse 21 says, "For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain." We look at this verse of Scripture, we have to consider that fact, the fact that today the ungodly have rejected God, the only begotten Son of God. They have rejected Him and do not consider it to be a serious offense. In fact, they don't want anything to do with Him. And I've said for years, the Twin Towers came down and the first thing on the paper in the morning was, "Where is God?" Didn't say, "Where's Jesus?" They don't care about the only begotten Son of God. They don't want to talk about the only begotten Son of God. They'll mention God. Even Holly Weird mentions God. But they don't want to mention the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because then you have to deal with your sin. Interesting, huh? The Savior of the world, and they don't want anything to do with Him. We know He's God, right? God's people know that Jesus is God, part of the Trinity. We know that. The world out there doesn't. They separate them. The Lord Jesus Christ is not God, because that's not how they see Him. But when you mention His name, they're done. They don't want to hear it. Interesting, isn't it? They don't see Him as God, but they don't want to talk about Him. They don't want to acknowledge Him, unless they just say He was a good person who walked the earth. No, He was God in the flesh. Let me tell you, the ungodly might not see it as a serious offense, but the God of heaven and earth does. Yeah. He loved the lost world so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die in their place. God sees it as a serious offense because they've rejected His free gift. His love's going to turn to wrath. This world's going to see sorrow like it's never seen before. It'll be a horrible time. Let me just say again, if you're not saved today, if you don't get saved today and that trumpet sounds, it's over. There's no more chances. It's done. It's sealed. Of course, those will say, "But a loving, caring God wouldn't do that." Loving, caring God who is just and holy and righteous has to do that. If you don't get saved, you'll be part of this crowd that God unleashes His wrath upon. Can you imagine having to deal with the wrath of God? We think We're already dealing with God's wrath, right? Not to the extent they will be. And trust me, when they give credit to everyone but God for the earthquakes and the volcanoes erupting and the lightning that strikes and starts fires and the droughts and all of that, that is God trying to get man's attention to say, I'm angry. Thank God that those who know Him, who have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, won't see the almighty wrath of God. We get to see bits and pieces of it, but we're not going to see it like it's going to happen once the rapture takes place and the church is out of here and the Holy Spirit is removed and things get ugly like they've never been. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this tribulation period is a time that, from what I've studied, what I've read, what I know, is a time that no one should want to be here on this earth during that time. And yet, your word tells us that there will be people still here because they've rejected the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. They have the opportunity for something that's free, and yet they reject it. So sad. Breaks my heart, and I know it breaks yours. So today, Father, if there's someone in our midst that's never accepted Christ as Savior, I pray today would be the day. Father, for those of us who have, I pray that we are doing everything we can to warn those people so that they can get saved before it's too late. So, Father, again, as always, we'll have a time of invitation, turning it over to you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'll stand with me if you're able. As the piano plays this morning, if you need to come, you come. God wants to hear from you. If he's dealing with you, He wants to hear from you. You need to get saved and show you from the Scriptures how you can know for sure you can have eternal life. So as the piano plays, if you need to come, you come.